Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from The Message. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing and how you can get involved, check out our website, message.org.uk.
I want to talk about vision this morning. A little while ago, I was asked to do a talk about how to keep going when you feel like giving up, which is super important for everybody, that we work out that how are we going to keep going when we feel like giving up? Because lots of Christians give up. They grind their way miserably to heaven, or they give up altogether. They lose the plot. I don't want to be that guy. It's mighty important. And I don't want to sound like some boring old granddad. Perhaps that's good that they're not here, but we do live in a little bit of a flaky generation that specializes in giving up. Giving up on relationships and giving up on marriages and giving up on jobs and giving up, you know, everything isn't perfect. And so we sack that off and try and find the perfect. Well, life isn't perfect. Relationships aren't perfect. There's no such thing as the perfect marriage or perfect friendship or perfect job. Our calling is often to dig in and go hard and not give up. And then we look back and we're like, wow, look what God did. And if there is a hundredfold harvest and it's going to come to the person who's got a good heart and perseveres to the end, well, I want to be that guy or girl, don't you? I want to be that person who perseveres when others would give up. And anyway, so in this talk, I said, I've got a feeling there are four things that will be the mark of the man or woman who does keep going to the end. I'm not talking about like I go to church as an old man and I'm a nice old fella and I pray a bit and read my Bible. But I'm talking about someone, and you know these people, and I know them, who are fiery to the finish, who don't lose the passion, who keep blessing the world. And they may have less energy and strength, but they grow in passion year on year. Don't you want to be that person? Yes, I do. Well, that person, I believe, will be defined by four things. The first thing, it's so obvious, but it's so important, and someone in this room needs to hear it this morning. The first thing that will define somebody who keeps going to the end with passion and fire is personal prayer and study. Billy Graham said he's never met a Christian who's fallen away, deconstructed his faith, gone a bit weird, who was in devotions and prayer daily, who is committed to the word of God and personal prayer. You need to hear that. It's absolutely core and key to keep going as the Christian man or woman that God wants you to be. So the first thing was prayer and devotions. It's obvious, but it's not practiced by so many Christians, and it's nuts to think we're going to keep going the distance without that. The second thing is friends, mates on a mission. People who will love you and laugh with you, but also will cheer you on when the going gets tough, will call you out when you're being a complete div. You know, people who can speak into your life, but also people who love you. You know the kind of people I mean. We need those friends on the journey. Third thing was stories. You know what keeps us going? We're a story-driven movement. And isn't it great that at the moment, The Message Trust, we have our best ever stories. You know, the stories that this ministry was devised for and designed for and we prayed for and pleaded for. Stories, Jesus-only stories, they're everywhere. I've never known a season when there's so many people coming to Christ, but not just coming to Christ, falling in love with him and being utterly transformed. Those Jesus-only stories. The what gets you out of bed in the morning, what keeps you going, what fuels you when the going gets tough. But the fourth thing I said was that keeps you going, that keeps men or women going to the end, is a vision bigger than yourself. A God-given vision, a dream that God gives you that carries you forward and takes you into a place of offered, a place of sacrifice, a place of service, but a place of maximum fruitfulness, hundredfold harvest for Jesus. Bring it on, Lord. My uncle Ken, who's now in heaven, he was an optician, but he was an old school optician, right? And rather than having all this high-tech equipment, he had hundreds of glasses on his wall. Real, like something out of like Tom Brown's school days, his optician's shop in Withington or wherever it was, and Wealdon's opticians. And he would pull these off the wall and he would go, is it this or is it this, and he would hold these like real old school stuff. But there's something there in terms of vision. We need to seek the Lord and say, is it this or is it this? What is the vision for my life? What have you called me to in this massive world of need? What is the vision God's got? Because there is a race marked out for you. There are good works planned for you to do. It's so important that you work that out. And I've been called in the past a visionary, as if that's something special. We're all called to be visionaries. We're all called to work out, is it this or is it this? What's the vision God's got for my life? And it's so, so important that we work it out. I've always wanted the message to be a kind of hothouse of vision, a place that births visionaries. I love that people pass through this ministry. People like Sid Williams serve really faithfully. And then they go off and birth an incredible ministry to end homelessness in Manchester through this Embassy Village. Don't you love that? That we could cheer on Sid and support him and watch God give him a vision way bigger than himself. I love that, you know, somebody in our creative team gets up here and leads some worship and we're like, what was that? And he's called Jonathan Ogden, and before you know it, he's setting sail and blessing millions through his music, and he's got this beautiful vision for a sound to be heard all over the world, and God sees his heart and blesses that. I love that Lynn's, you know, he's journeyed with us and then repurposed, reworked out, what does it look like for me with all my crazy everything? What does it look like? What does it look like for Lynn's to work out? I love all that, but I also love that within the message, people can be visionaries. That, you know, Emma has this vision for No More Knives, or Sam Hawthorne for the Community Grocery, or Sam Ward for Proximity Network. Whatever it is, within this, we want this place of seeing God's new thing and pursuing it and cheering each other on in that, don't we? What makes people successful in vision is keeping going when others would give up. I remember hearing that Steve Chalk talk. Steve Chalk's like one, and I don't agree with Steve Chalk and everything, but that's slightly relevant to this point. Steve's amazing and he's changed the world. And somebody said, so what's the secret, Steve? You know, you've had a vision for this the biggest Christian education charity Britain's ever seen, and et cetera, and stopping the traffic and all these other beautiful things he's done, Christmas cracker. What's the secret? And you know what he said? He said, I think the secret is I'm a plodder. No, you're not, Steve Chalk. You're the guy who had two drivers because one couldn't cope. You know, he took on a driver who drove him to all his meetings and all his, and this poor guy is so knackered, he had to take on a second driver doing two shifts to just keep up with Steve Chalk. You would say you're a kind of super driven, running 100 miles an hour. But Steve realized that the thing is face like flint, plodding towards the vision, step by step. And then you look back and you're like, wow, I've come a long way. Abraham Lincoln said, I may walk slowly, I keep walking. That's the key, to keep walking. We right now, I hope you'll agree, have a massive, big vision. You know, the vision, I hope you know what it is, I hope you read it on our website, is of a worldwide movement passionately sharing the love of Jesus in words and actions with the hardest to reach young people and communities. That's the big vision of the message. I'm dreaming that within my lifetime, before I see Jesus face to face, that we'll be ministering in every nation on earth. We'll have ministry operating in 195 nations. I even dream there'll be workers in every nation multiplying the gift of the evangelist to advance. I'm dreaming now that before I die, there'll be at least 50 hubs, at least over 25% of the nations on earth will have multiplying message hubs, working out what it looks like to do Christ-centered enterprise, a community transformation, and training and equipping and something else. No, I said community. Christ-centered enterprise, community transformation, training and equipping. Crazy, yeah, I'd said it, didn't I? Whatever, all that. All that. In over 25% of the nations on earth. Now, I'm excited by that. And it gets me out of bed in the morning. And I need to work out within that, what's my part of that massive global vision. I want to hasten its arrival. I want to ache for it to happen. I may die without seeing the full measure of it, but I'm going to keep plodding. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep my eyes on that. I want to breathe in my being, walk with Jesus and listen to him. And I want to breathe out my doing. So how do we get a vision that's worth living for? In fact, a vision that's worth dying for. And I read this quote of Martin Luther King, who said, unless a man has a vision for his life that's worth dying for, he's not really living. And we need to be those people who've got the big vision of God for our lives, because God's got a big vision for your life. In the book of Genesis, we read about Abraham. And Abraham in Genesis chapter 13 is at a bit of an interesting point in his life. I think he's feeling a little bit vulnerable. I think he's like, what have I done? I'm feeling a little bit like that at the moment. You know, as I hand over the UK leadership to Sam and a brilliant leadership team, as I give away my office and as I start to think about traveling more, and I just generally perhaps I won't be at these meetings that I so want to be at, but I'm feeling a little bit like that, slight insecurity, but the big vision is worth it. And times of change and insecurity are so often the time God speaks. We're living in a world that's full of change and insecurity. Maybe you're feeling it in your own walk. It's a great time to hear the Lord, because times of change and insecurity are always great times when God speaks. Anyway, in Genesis 13, Abraham's just split up with Lot. And he said to Lot, you can have the best of the land. You just choose the best of the land. And he's there thinking, what have I done? What have I done? All I've got is the word of the Lord over my life. And yet, the word of the Lord is all we need, because previous to him saying, you go, Lot, you have the best of the land, you go on, I'll just take the leftovers, he had the word of the Lord. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless you, and whoever blesses you, I'll bless, and whoever curses you, I'll curse, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. Wow, God's spoken to Abraham, and he's in a great place, even though he's feeling a bit weird, feeling a bit insecure, feeling a bit vulnerable. God speaks, and vision comes. You see, vision begins. Five things about vision I want to tell you. Vision begins where you're at now. You don't need to have all the resources. You don't need to move somewhere else. You don't need to, you just need to be in that place of slightly unsettled, slightly insecure, but here I am. Here's every, you're in a great place, especially being in this room as we pray and worship and come into the word together, and you're surrounded by people who have a vision. What a great place to work out what your vision is. Vision begins where you are now. The second thing about vision is, vision begins with who you are now. You see, God has given you unique skills. He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you a unique personality. He's never made another you. He's given you unique passions, things that just make you weep when other people are like, you wuss, what's the matter with you? But it's you. God's placed all that inside of you. And it's ready to be let loose as you run with the vision God's got for your life. Vision begins with who you are now. You don't need to become Sam Ward or Ian Robottom or whoever it is, you know, with these unique skills and gifts in the message. You are enough for God to give a beautiful, world-changing vision. Ask others. Who am I then? You know, get some friends. You know me. Ask the Lord. Seek him. And God will start to show you what the vision for your life is. Vision begins when people know God's word, number three. What has he said to you? What has the Lord said to you over the years? What lessons has he taught you? Just get some time with him and seek him. What issues and people groups that he put on your heart? What's he said through his word that's led to, brought you to this place? Is God has spoken to you, because God's the God who speaks. You can't be in this room week after week, day after day, prayer day after prayer day without God speaking, unless you're deaf. And if you're deaf, open your ears. And if your heart's heart, soften your heart, because God's a God who speaks. God has spoken to us. The reason you're in this room is because God called you to be part of the message at this time. So God's spoken to you through Isaiah 43. He said, you're going to be part of a rivers in the desert movement. God's spoken to you through Psalm 37. He said, the righteousness of your cause is going to shine like the noonday sun. Because we never interview people just on skill and character. We interview on character, but on how much heart they've got for this mission. So you're here because God said to you, you're going to inherit a land for Jesus. And then recently, God's been saying to you, it's time to see it happen swiftly. Arise, shine, for your light's come. You're going to see the least become a mighty nation, the smallest a mighty nation. Wow, that's where we're living right now. That's God's word to all of us. It's good, that, isn't it? I'm excited by that. Keeps me going when I think, what the heck's going on? That we've got this massive vision and God's spoken to it, into it. So once you get... Oh, yes, vision for always affects what you do. It affects, interesting, isn't it, for Abraham. What did the Lord say? Because the Lord spoke to him in this place of vulnerability. Genesis 13, it says this, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had parted, look around from where you are. Look to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you'll see, I'll give to you and your offspring forever. I'll make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it you. Abraham had to work out his vision step by step. The Lord said, walk hundreds of miles, the length and breadth of the land. Just keep going, keep walking. Put in the hard graft, put in the hard miles. Keep walking when others are sleeping, Abraham. Keep walking. You keep pursuing this vision because every step you take, I'm going to give you the land because I'm the Lord who meant it when I said it first time. And I brought it back at this time of vulnerability, slight time of weakness. How's this all going to work out? My wife's barren. Lot's got the best of the land. What's going on here? But God's got a plan. And when God speaks, he fulfills his word. Do we believe that? And once you've got that vision from the Lord, I just encourage you to do four things. You know, you've got the big vision. Write the big vision. Go on our website. Write it down. Write it plain. But then also, what's my part within that big vision? How could I play my part and write it down, pray over it? And share what you believe your part is. Share it selectively at first. Find some fellow dreamers and share it with them. And then just do it. Just do something to fulfill God's vision for your life. Because God's got a vision for your life. Sometimes I think, what would my life have been like if 30 years ago I hadn't left the business? And it's kind of hard leaving the business. And I felt like I was leaving my brother high and dry and had to downscale my lifestyle. And, you know, it's nothing like so many people in this room. And I'm not saying I ever regret that sacrifice for one moment. But what would my life have been like if I hadn't, God hadn't given me this vision for the lost and the least and the last, and I hadn't at least made some steps of sacrifice towards it? What, how different my life and how much more boring. Do something. Do something today. There's a step of sacrifice towards the vision God's got for your life. Aim high. You know, me and Mark Pennells set up this little charity, but we were believing for revival. Nothing less. And 30 years later, we're still believing for that revival, and we can sniff it, and step by step by step, we're starting to see it. The fifth and final thing about vision, it affects who you are. You can't be the same person if God's given you a vision for the last and the least and the lost. God's privileged you to be part of a worldwide movement that will present the gospel in word and deed, keeping Jesus at the center, but going after the hardest to reach young people and communities. You can't be the same person if that's you. You know, for Abraham, it says he went to live near the great trees and he pitched his tent and built an altar to the Lord. At this moment, no sign of the vision being fulfilled, of his descendants being like the dust of the earth and him being a blessing to the whole world beyond any man who's ever lived up to this point. No sign of it. So what he does is he builds an altar to the Lord. He worships the Lord. He believes the Lord's work. And guess what? God, in his miraculous way, fulfilled that beautiful vision. Living in light of that which is not is the essence of vision. I choose today to live like I'm going to see this revival in the toughest communities and amongst young people in my lifetime. I choose today, what am I going to do to speed that day, to make sure that revival doesn't tarry? What am I going to do? I'm going to write it down. I'm going to pray over it. I'm going to share it. And then I'm going to do some stuff. Bill Wilson said, you know, the founder of Kids Club, he said, I've got a great vision. All I need is more people and more dollars. You know what, Bill? The good news about if you really got a great vision, God's going to give you all the people and dollars you need. That's been my experience. You know, once we've got God's vision, we start to attract the attention of amazing people who want to be part of that vision, want to work out the vision that God's got for their lives in the context of this massive global vision to bless the millions. God will bring all the people. Guess what? And it's a good reminder when Sam Peach Barnes is going to probably depress me in about half an hour with the latest management accounts. No, he's not. It's not his job. But you know what I mean? When sometimes you're looking at the numbers and you're thinking, oh, there we go again. We've gone backwards this month. More cancellations than additions. God's always provided. I mean, 30 years of crazy provision. Why? Because it's his vision. And his vision does always bring his provision. It does. It's my testimony. Absolutely crazy. I look back, you know, when we left, I genuinely can remember looking at a £1,000 check. Like, what? Somebody wants to give £1,000 to the vision God's given me. That's crazy. How can that even happen? Now we have £100,000 checks just coming in all the time. And in some ways, they don't even touch the sides. You know, but because together we've just grown. And God's provision has grown. God's just amazing and he provides for his people. And guess what? He gave Abraham the child and the child blessed the world and his descendants and more numerous than the stars in the sky and the whole world. And here we are, thousands of years later, being blessed because God is faithful to his promises. When somebody gets a vision from the Lord and walks it out, puts the hard miles, length and breadth of this world, we're going to march it out. Oh, I'm in. Lord, I'm in. Give me strength, Lord, and I'm in. Length and breadth of the world. Let's find the lost and the least and the last in every nation on earth. Let's reach them together. Let's believe for something crazy in every nation on this earth. Let's do this thing together. Why not? What else do you want to give your life to? Making belts and braces and bum bags? No thanks. I say, this is a vision God's given me for my life, and I want to work it out well, don't you?
Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support our work or even get involved with one of our teams. We also have another podcast called The Flow Podcast, where we share stories and testimonies of the amazing things that God's doing in people's lives. Search for The Flow Podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.